Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge introduces incredible stories shared by women across the globe who have experienced the great heights of success and, at times, the agony of defeat. With a vision to impart wisdom and advice on how to tackle barriers and soar to new heights, the show uncovers different perspectives to help you find your inner strength and to power up your own voice so you can excel in life.
Welcome to Women Worldwide. I'm your host, Deirdre Breckenridge, bringing you more stories about incredible women who share their knowledge and let you in on their amazing experiences, all to help you learn and grow along the way. My special guest today is Anne Handley. So if you're in the content marketing world, you probably recognize her name. Anne is the first person in the world to have the title Chief Content Officer, which I think is really interesting. And she's the Chief Content Officer at Marketing Profs and a veteran of creating and managing digital content. And Anne is also the author of a new book, which she's going to talk about, called Everybody Writes, Your Go-To Guide to Creating Ridiculously Good Content. Anne was also the co-author of the best-selling book, Content Rules, How to Create Killer Blogs, Podcasts, Videos, Ebooks, Webinars, and More that Engage Customers and Ignite Your Business. And that was published by Wiley. And she takes her expertise on the road, keynoting conferences globally to share her deep insights on content and marketing. So, Anne, it's such a pleasure to have you on my show today. Welcome.
Thank you, Deirdre. I'm very honored to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. And I feel like I know you so well just through social media. So I know we've met in the past. I think it was way back when at one of the Marketing Profs conferences. But, you know, it's really nice to be able to take the virtual to a conversation. So I want to kick this off. You are such a pioneer in so many ways. You know, being named first chief content officer, one of the first sources of interactive marketing news and commentary. You're an author, social media influencer. Kind of tell us a little bit about how you got into writing and where did this all start?
Yeah, so sure. I really started my career as a journalist. You know, I wrote for all kinds of publications, but I really gravitated toward business-to-business publications. They just met my sensibilities a little bit more, I think, and I really liked the idea of bringing what I knew from the world of journalism into the business world, right? So, in other words, some of the things that I learned in journalism were communicating with clarity and with brevity, taking as little time as possible to get your point across, but doing it perhaps a little bit artfully. And that's really what I wanted to bring to business writing. And that's really how I got into it initially. Started with print magazines and newspapers, and then the internet happened. And I founded a company called clickbee.com, as you mentioned. And then, you know, from there, went to Marketing Bros, wrote a couple books, and here we are.
It's amazing how you've sort of changed and morphed and moved as we went from the print to the internet to social media. And I'm mm-hmm. sure businesses are, you know, completely either baffled or have to be on board with different types of writing. So in your experience, you know, if you were going to look at the difference between business writing years ago and today, what are some things that are really challenging for a business?
Yeah, well, I think business writing, you know, a decade or two ago served a different purpose. I mean, very often it was one-to-one communication or it was, you know, in a publication, say, you know, was typically a print publication. So, you know, now we have so many ways we're communicating through words, right, through writing with others, through social media, through content, which increasingly is at the heart of marketing. As you know, so I think there's so many more ways that we're communicating, and it's not just through articles like it once was, or newsletters, print newsletters primarily, you know, a decade or two ago. You know, now we're communicating through social media, through infographics, through webinars, you know, the landing page that will probably host this this interview, for example, you know, all the words on there. So there's just so many more opportunities, I think, to use words to communicate you know, with those who we need to communicate with. So I think the opportunities are vast now in ways that they just that just didn't exist before.
Yeah, there's definitely more opportunity. And I think at the same time, they're learning that the more transparent they can be and open and, you know, even though it is business writing, you're still showing the people behind it. Yeah. I found that, that's really important. And many businesses are starting to understand that. Do you see that in your experience, that businesses are more on board with the newer style of writing today?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think things have loosened up a tremendous amount. And part of that is because, you know, times have changed. You know, we don't feel like we need to have a particular stiff way of writing to be seen as professional. And so, you know, definitely things have evolved, and we can have a little bit more fun too, you know, even in the business world, you know, even if you are a lawyer, you know, or an accountant or actuary, you know, I think you can have a little bit more fun and show people who you are. And that is clearly a strength, and it used to be seen as a weakness, I think, but now it's clearly a strength, I think.
Well, I'm so glad you said that you can be creative even in your business writing. So that probably moves into the discussion about your new book. So you have a book that's out called Everybody Writes, and it really seems like a great go-to guide. You know, how is this book a creative resource for businesses and even for new generations as they're learning their business writing skills?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been editing business writers and communicators, marketers for, God, let me think about this. I'd say, geez, over 20 years now.
Oh my goodness.
Well,
wow, you don't look
crazy.
It.
I think that's the first time I said that out loud, actually. But you know, I have a lot of experience with the way that marketers and communications folks communicate. And so what I really wanted to do was give them a go-to guide to writing that wasn't framed for, say, a creative writer or, you know, somebody who made their living through words, but that really was more in the business end of things. So I wanted to give folks, you know, sort of a fun, accessible guide that would also just inspire them to use their writing a little bit more creatively, a little differently.
Excellent. Well, what are some of the big takeaways from the book? So is it for people to write better, to learn maybe the new rules of writing or the tools that are going to help them, or maybe it's a combination of everything?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say yes to all of that. I mean, and I would also add that I really want to inspire people. You know, people have written to me. The book has been out actually almost a year now. It's coming up on its one-year anniversary.
Oh, exciting.
It's become a Wall Street Journal bestseller. So, you know, that's really, really gratifying to me. But what's even more gratifying is when I hear from people who say, you know, it's really accessible. It made me really rethink how I'm communicating with those around me and how I write, even how I'm writing an email. So, you know, I love that. I love that kind of feedback.
Wow.
And so that's really what I wanted to do. I wanted to not really give people the rules, you know. It's the book is kind of like an Elements of Style, you know, that classic by E.D. White.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like that for, you know, for the business world, for the new world of business, if you will. But at the same time, I'm a little bit squeamish even describing it as that, because I think that sets it up to be like, oh God, that sounds so boring. It sounds like a glamour book, but it's not that. You know, it's really a book that I hope will inspire you and teach you to communicate and you know, in more creative and more fun ways. You know, so that you have fun writing and folks have fun reading what you write.
Yeah, you know, that's really good that you said that, because you should have fun writing. You know, writing is such an art and a way of expression, you know, no matter what type of writing that you're doing. And I just want to mention that, you know, I don't think your book can be boring. I was reading somewhere, and maybe it was one of the endorsements from somebody who said, you're actually really funny. So I didn't read the book yet, but I promise you I'm going to read your book, and you will definitely see a review from me, because it does sound awesome. So let's talk a little bit more about writing and you. So how much of your day is spent writing, and how much time do you spend maybe on social media, or just do the two go hand in hand for you? What does it look like?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't know that I've ever broken up my day that way. I mean, I spend pretty much my entire day writing and or on social media. So I think what I'm doing on social media, typically if I'm not reading, I'm writing. So
right.
So I guess, you know, it's both. But when I say I spend my day writing, I mean, you know, I run the content at marketingprofs.com, which is a training and education company. So I spend a lot of time communicating with people that I work with, talking to our customers, communicating with our customers on email, fielding inquiries on email all the time, responding to those inquiries. So, you know, there's an awful lot of writing that I'm doing that goes on that may not, you know, that most people maybe wouldn't think about as writing, but, you know, that's
right.
How I think about it. So I won't say that I spend my whole day, you know, writing blog posts. I certainly don't. I spend most of my day, though, communicating. So I guess I'd put it that way.
Well, it sounds like there's a lot of writing, and it's both what people can see, but also behind the scenes is really important, too. What do you, here's a question, and maybe we can just talk about it briefly, but what do you love about social media writing, or maybe what do you hate about it? If you can answer that.
Yeah, I guess what I love about social media writing is pretty much what I love about social media, which is the access that we all have to each other. You know, you said to me at the beginning of this call that you feel like you know me, and part of that is because we actually have met in person. But we also know each other just through the online world, right? Through social media.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that really gives me an opportunity to know many, many, many other people, some of whom are customers, some of whom are not. But I've met lots of great people, lots of great friends, and had access to people that, you know, that none of us would have had access to each other. I think we've never had access to each other to this degree, you know, in the history of the world. So I think that's tremendous. You know, I think it's amazing. It's why I really do love social media from not just a business perspective, but a human perspective. But at the same time, what I hate about it is probably that too, because that's, you know, it's hard to shut it off, right? It's hard to not get caught up in it. And on an individual level, it's hard not to compare yourself to other people. It's hard not to see these wonderfully curated lives, that these awesome lives that people lead on Facebook, and not feel that yours is lacking in some way. So I think that's kind of a human thing. It's tough. I mean, who hasn't just said, you know, I got to walk away from this because it's really under my skin. So, you know, it's awesome. It's wonderful. But at the same time, I think it's really important to keep a perspective on it.
I do, too. I'm talking with my special guest, Anne Handley, author of Everybody Writes and Chief Content Officer at Marketing Profs. In the next segment, Anne will discuss publishing and her advice to people who want to take content to the next level.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Segment 2 is coming right up.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communications and innovative technology. Pure Performance Communications works with businesses to move their audiences from interest to action, giving you a roadmap that fosters deeper engagement and forges stronger relationships along the way. Visit us at pureperformance.com. Thank you.
Now, back to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge, host of Women Worldwide. Welcome back to the show, where Anne Handley and I were just chatting about her new book, Everybody Writes, and how to be a better writer. And we are going to continue our conversation, Anne, about writing. And maybe, I was thinking, everybody... You had said you started as a journalist, but maybe take it back a little bit earlier. Was there ever a time when you were in high school or elementary school or even before that where you said, oh, I want to grow up and I want to be an author or a writer? Did that happen to you?
Actually, I always wanted to be a writer my whole life. That's all I've ever wanted to do. When I was 8 years old, I wrote in my diary that I want to be a writer. I spelled it with two T's because it was, I didn't know how to spell
cute.
Writer. But yeah, for my whole life, I always wanted to be a writer. And so, you know, when you have a child who reads and wants to be a writer, what do? You give them diaries. You know, so my aunts and uncles and my family was always giving me, you know, diaries or journals for Christmas or my birthday or whatever. But that never really was very satisfying to me. You know, I'd sort of make a half-hearted attempt to, I'm gonna journal every day. I'm gonna keep a diary. But I never really could, because to me, what was missing was the audience, right? There was nobody to read it.
Right.
So it always felt to me like a little senseless to just, you know, write about my day, because I used to think, well, to who am I writing to? And so the thing that switched for me was when I was an older, in elementary school too, but slightly older, I got a pen pal. I had a pen pal, and this was something I could really get behind, because it allowed me to be a writer but also have an audience. And so,
wow, that's terrific.
Because, you know, at the time, this was before email, right? This was before instant communication. And so just that process of waiting, you know, writing a letter, putting it in the mailbox, waiting it for to get to its destination, and then, you know, on the other side, then repeating the process and it coming back to you, that was so painfully slow that at one point I ended up with, I don't know, 10 or 11 or 12 pen pals. My life was very small and very suburban and pretty predictable. What I ended up doing instead was inventing all of these other lives and all these other things that I had going on. You know, I had different families and different pets, and I lived in different places, in a city or on a farm or in the countryside, you know, that kind of thing, which sounds completely weird. Like, when I talk about it now, I know how weird that sounds. But, you know, it was just my way, I think, of building an audience and also, you know, just writing a little bit of fiction.
That's great.
And I think if I were to view it from my marketing lens now, I was sort of targeting my content to the personas that I had that I was writing to. So in a funny way, you know, fast forward 30 years, that turned out to be such great training for me when I started, you know, actually creating content for, you know, specific personas. So, just a funny backstory to how I got into this to begin with.
Well, I think that's amazing. And I never really thought about that, because you're right. When you're journaling, there's no audience. So even if you were perfecting your craft, it wouldn't matter, because nobody would read it to say, oh, I really enjoy this. And what you did with the pen pals, that is really smart. And that's almost something that, you know, our kids are all grown up, but I might pass that on to them to say, hey, we have the writing gene in our family. Encourage your children, if they're interested in writing, to have pen pals. And,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
create.
I don't know. Do they even still do pen pals? I'm not even sure that's even a thing.
I don't know, but I think it's one of the best ideas, because you can learn so much and grow and write and have that audience that you spoke of. So that's awesome. It's really
good. You know what was wonderful about that too is it's something that, you know, I try to keep alive. It's just the idea of writing in your own hand, you know. So I've kind of come full circle on that whole journal thing, because now I actually do keep, I won't call it a journal because I'm not really journaling per se, but what I do is I keep a notebook with me all the time, and I sort of jot down things as they occur to me. And it's important to me to write it in my own hand, you know, very, very different than we do on social media or online, right, where we're typing all the time.
Right.
But when I write it in my own hand, that exercise, it just sort of it cements it a little bit more deeply in my brain. And I remember when I read it, when I go back and read it, exactly what I was thinking about. I don't know what
that is
nuanced about when you write versus when you type. And so I've sort of come full circle on that whole notion of, you know, keeping a notebook, keeping a journal with me, something I never did when I was a kid, but I do now. So.
Well, you've hit on something, because when, you know, for a while, going into meetings, boardroom meetings, any kind of meeting, you know, I like to take notes by hand. I find that the note-taking makes things sink into my brain. And I started to switch to, you know, I brought an iPad in once, and I was using Evernote, trying to tap some notes in, and then I would take my computer and do the same thing. Clearly, walking out of meetings is kind of like not feeling the same level of retention that I would have. And I think you just summed it up for me perfectly right there. It's when you write it out, it does sink in a little bit more. So something tells me I'm going to be writing some more notes in my meetings and not typing. So thank you for that. So I want to switch gears just ever so slightly. We're, of course, on the topic of writing, but tell me your thoughts on traditional versus self-publishing, because it seems like today you really can go a couple of ways if you want to write. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I've never self-published a book. You know, both of my books were published by a traditional publisher, so I can't really speak with much authority about, you know, the pros and cons of each, aside from, you know, what I know from conversing with friends of mine who have gone the self-publishing route. But I think, you know, the point is, if you want to write a book, you have no excuse to not write it, right? The tools are there. You can self-publish. The key is, of course, that you have to then self-market it. But you know
what?
Here's the thing. Even if you go with a traditional publisher, you will end up self-marketing as well. Because
yes,
one of the things that was a big eye-opener for me when CC Chapman, my co-author, and I wrote Content Rules, was that, you know, you finish this huge project, right? You're done with the
it's
writing.
Like having a baby.
Ooh. Yeah, exactly. And now I can like relax. But that's really when the work just begins. You know, once the writing is over, the work of marketing begins. And so I think, you know, as long as you're aware of the fact that in any case, you'll either, you know, through either traditional publishing or self-publishing, you're going to be the one who's doing most of the marketing. So what does that mean? It means that you should really build your platform. If you want to write a book, build your platform before you actually publish that book, right? So make sure you are doing things like building your online presence, building your digital presence, building an audience, you know, through social media and maybe through your own property, you know, through your own blog or on LinkedIn or whatever means, through Medium. You know, there's so many ways to think about building audiences. Make sure you have that in place before you set about publishing a book.
Yeah, I agree. Either way, you are going to work your tail off, and you should, because that's really the only way. You know, even I have a traditional publisher as well, and they do a little bit, but no matter what, you want to do your own promotion and marketing and self-publishing, the same thing. So that's a really good point. If there is one person... With everything that you're doing, if there's one person in your career who has influenced you the most, who would that be? Who's that person that you really want to thank?
I mean, there's so many people. I mean, outside of my family, you know, my mom and my dad by far were the ones that were the first two people who really inspired me the most and really made me believe that I was capable of whatever I wanted.
That
sounds like a throwaway line, but, you know, it's not, because, you know, you know, every child needs that, every person needs that, and I don't know what I would have done without that. But aside from that, actually, it's funny you're asking that question, because I just wrote a post for LinkedIn. I'm part of their influencer program, and every month they have a different theme, you know, that they ask influencers to write on. And so this month's theme was about your mentor. Who's your mentor?
And oh, good.
It gave me an opportunity to give a shout out to a man named Dick Powers, who was my editor at the Boston Globe when I was there.
Nice.
And the reason why this man was so great is that, first of all, he's a very kind person, but at the same time, he was the one who really made me understand that I was a terrible news reporter and that I was much better features writer, you know. So I really like to tell the story of what was going on. I really like to tell the backstory and give people's motivation and why this was happening. So, you know, he would send me to cover, like at one point he sent me to cover a fire. And rather than just reporting on the fire like a typical news reporter would do, instead I told the backstory on the couple and about their library that they had lost and why that was so important to them. And when I got back to the newsroom, he was like, okay, we're going to try this again. So, you know, but he never made me feel like a failure. And that's why he was such a mentor to me. He never made me feel like you're a terrible news reporter, even though I was. Instead, he said, you know, I think you're an excellent feature writer. And so I just kept that with me for the longest time. And it wasn't until years later that I realized that almost without me knowing, he had steered me in a direction that I would really, you know, that I would blossom. I ended up writing for the Globe for 7 or 8 years. And then from there, you know, sort of launched the rest of my career. But it was, but the idea of story and telling a fuller story really is has just been my thing, you know, my entire career. And really it was Dick Powers who made me realize that.
Well, it sounds like he just recognized some real strengths and shaped and molded and set you in the right direction, because you certainly have been writing and doing wonderful things ever since. So,
yeah.
You know, working as hard as you do, and I know that you are speaking and writing and constantly busy, how are you handling the whole work-life balance, or maybe we'll call it a work-life blend? How's that working out for you?
I'm probably not the best person to ask. You should probably ask my family. I probably would just say, I'm great. What do you mean?
I'm great.
No, I'm kidding. You know, it's tough. It's really tricky. I think, you know, my daughter is a high school, she just graduated from high school. So she's going into her freshman year of college, and that's going to be a huge shift for me.
That's a big shift.
Yeah, I have an older son who's, you know, already gone through college. He just graduated last year as well. So, but, you know, for the first time this fall, I will have that empty nest, right? So that's going to be a really big transition for me. So I think this fall, the way that I'm handling that work-life balance is to throw myself into work as much as I can so I can forget about the fact I don't have any kids at home. But I don't know. You know, I think the biggest thing that I do and that I have done is as much as I can to incorporate my kids into my work. You know, Marketing Cross is a virtual company, so I work out of my house. I'm talking to you right now from a tiny house, literally a tiny office that I built in my backyard that's separate from the house where I can see everything
terrific.
That goes on. I can see the pool. I can see, you know, who's home and who's not. So, you know, that's really key to me. But also, you know, my daughter has come with me on some business trips. She's coming with me next week when I'm going out to San Francisco to present to a group out there. So I think really just letting her see what I do and not making it that it's either work or family. It's work and family sometimes. You know, she's been in the audience. My son has been in the audience when I've presented. And so, you know, I think that's really important for her to see that, you know, why I'm away and why I'm doing what I'm doing. And you know, she's, I mean, it sounds like, I won't say she's inspired by it, but I know that she appreciates
it. I'm sure she's
it,
super
know.
Proud. She must be proud
yeah, it's
and
cool.
appreciate
it. It's definitely cool. You know, it's cool when you feel like you've done a good job and you look down and you see your daughter in the audience. I mean, that's
kind of, you can't beat that.
No,
that must be a wonderful feeling. So that is definitely a blend. Sounds like you have that down pat. What advice, you know, just as some parting thoughts, what advice would you give to other people who are interested in writing, whether it's blogs or a book? Well, what would you say to them?
I would say just keep writing. You know, it's I think many people think about writing as something that only a gifted few can handle, right? It's like, well, I'm not a writer. I hear people say this all the time, you know, especially people in the business context who say, you know, well, I'm not a writer like you are. And you know, it's true. There are some people who are gifted writers. But on the other hand, you know, I wrote Everybody Writes as a sort of level set to say that everybody is capable of writing. But it's not going to magically appear to you, right? You've got to work the muscle, you know, just like you go to the gym if you want to become fit. It's the same way with writing. You've got to practice and you've got to make it a discipline and do it every day. You know, and that's what I've always done. That's what I think. You talk to any good writer, ask anybody who's writing you admire, and they work at it. You know, it's not like that they just sit around and it sort of flows out of their house, you know, out of their head, you know, like Athena out of the head of Zeus. You know, it's not like that. It's like they're really working at it. And so I would just say to anybody who is thinking that they want to be a writer, you absolutely can, but, you know, just commit to it and have fun with it and find your voice and just do it.
Excellent. Practice and make it a discipline. I love that. So last question, Anne, where can my listeners find out more about you and your book, Everybody Writes?
Well, they can go to my website at annhambley.com. They can sign up to get regular updates from me there, regular-ish, I should say. I only post there about once a month or so. Or they can go to everybodywrites.com and find out more information about the book.
Excellent. Well, Anne, thank you very much for joining us today and for sharing all of your thoughts about writing and your personal journey. You've given us amazing advice, so thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. I'd also like to thank everyone for tuning into Women Worldwide. I'm your host, Deirdre Breckenridge, and until we meet again for our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge, brought to you by Pure Performance Communications on the socialnetworkstation.com. You can reach Pure Performance at www.pureperformancecom.com. Women Worldwide is produced by SNI, and the opinions of the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of Social Network Intermedia, LLC, or the Social Network Station.